with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, May the 12th, you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Yes, let me look at your feet.
My feet?
Yeah, show me your tootsies.
Why?
I want to see if they've survived the Zumbathon.
Yeah, yes. That was hard work.
You were the star. You were the belle of the ball, some
might say.
Well,
something like that. Funnily enough, I've had a tweet from Peter Cook.
Yeah.
And Peter says, Paul, could you please mention on the Bunker Show that I'm actually going to be washing ladies' smalls plus ironing blouses on Channel Radio Women in Business Show on Thursday. What Peter doesn't know, he's also got a pink sweaty tutu to wash out as well.
I don't think there's anything small about that tutu, young man, was
it was
there?
Tiny. It really did chafe.
It was your pained expression in most of them.
I had a pink chiffon tutu that was chafing during a Zumbathon for 2 hours, woman.
I tell you what, though, listener. Mm. Paul Andrews and I, we thrive on chaos, don't we? What a morning we've had.
We've had a busy, busy morning.
And we're crammed to the gills.
We are. We've got a studio with far too many people in it, but it's loads of fun.
And who might our sponsor be this week?
Today's show sponsor is Rift Accounting. And you can see Rift and the Business Bunker tomorrow.
Manuela.
Tomorrow at 2020. At the 2020 Vision Live Show.
Detling.
At Detling. All day tomorrow. Rift will be there. So will the Business Bunker. We have a pop-up radio studio there, and we're going to be interviewing loads of people and doing loads of things. The Federation of Small Business have a stand there, Jobs in Kent have a stand there, we're all going to be there. Everyone's going to be there, so you've got to be there
and
too.
And if you're feeling a little, you know, some of them are a little bit shy, aren't they, about being interviewed, but we're so friendly, we want you to come up.
Absolutely, we sneak up on you.
Yeah, showcase.
When you're not expecting it, we sneak up and interview you.
And do you find, Paul Andrews, that the ones with the cupcakes get the best interviews?
The ones with the cupcakes always get the best interviews.
Oh, I think so too.
Absolutely.
Is that you bleating and blinking, or someone else?
No, I've got my phone on silent, but somebody sent me a text, and text you can't silence. It always pings when it texts.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that your excuse?
I'm just telling you.
So when are you doing after the Zumbathon, when are you going to do the ballet-a-thon in that tutu?
I'm still recovering from the Zumbathon, thank you very much.
Did you get any marriage proposals after?
Surprisingly, no.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought the look was working for you.
Yeah, really, of course it would. Yeah, absolutely.
Shall we introduce our guests?
I'll tell you what, why don't you?
Well, we'll start off. You're such a bitch to me sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got David.
David Roberts from Sustrans.
From Sustrans. And do you know, I bumped into him once. Hello, morning.
Good morning.
I bumped into him once in JoJo's, didn't I? I saw you, or was it you, or was it all men in Lycra look the same? I sat on someone's knee and had a latte.
It was you. Some random cyclist that's never recovered.
It was me. Yeah.
It was lovely, David.
Yeah.
Then we have Adrian Oliver from a cycling pub. Which is the name, Adrian?
It's the Free Will.
The Free Wheel, and where are you based?
We're at Graveney, just between Faversham and Whitstable.
So near to me, I can trog over on my little bike, can't wait. Mm. Then we have the lovely Alison Palmer, looking very fetching.
Hello. Good to be here.
From the Federation of Small Business. And then we have Kate
Griffiths,
who is going to do some makeup on you afterwards and make you look...
She's going to scar you for me, Jules, that's what she's going to do. I've paid her especially to scar you.
And how well did I bluff the introduction?
Yeah, you did.
Point to me.
Yeah.
Considering I was eating my beetroot salad 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So looking forward to seeing you with a... Because didn't you say that Kate did a wound on you and somebody...
Yeah, Kate was at the Kent Deaf Children's Society Deaf Expo at Moat Park a few months ago, putting wounds on children, which was lovely. And I tell you what, you've got to see it. I mean, anybody that follows Kate on Twitter will see her pictures. She tweeted the most evil picture today. It was an arm wrapped in barbed wire. And it made me wince. Just as soon as I saw the tweet, I just went, oh, ow.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
So we're going to be talking to Kate later on, and she is going to be demonstrating some of her theatrical makeup skills for us, and as I say, putting a scar on Jules's face, I hope.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, you know, my birthday is coming up, May 26th.
You could get a scar for your birthday.
Well, no, because you know Serenity Becker's coming on, so she could do your microderma abrasion, and then Kate, on a lovely clean face, could do something amazing once she's got your sort of crusty bits off. She can get down to the nitty-gritty.
Thank you for that,
Jules. Yeah, once you've had your microderma abrasion.
Yeah, right, that'll be the day. Right, read a tweet, I think.
Okay.
No, don't. I'll tell you what.
You do.
No, I'm going to read this because I did promise I would read this.
Okay.
And it's from Jackie Brooker, and it says, Dear Paul and Jules.
Morning, Jackie.
Hope this finds you both well and looking forward to seeing you tomorrow at 2020. I will be most grateful if you could do a shout-out on the Business Bunker Show for a new workshop that I've launched in collaboration with a great recruiter I know called Melanie Moore. And here are the details. It's a strategic employee resourcing workshop, and it's going to take place on two dates at the Hilton Hotel in Maidstone. That's by Knockcuts Garden Centre. And it's the dates are the 9th of June or the 22nd of September. So one's a long way off, but the 9th of June is the next one. And the workshop is ideal for anyone responsible for recruitment in their business. It will help you develop a clear plan detailing who you need, when you need them, where you will find them, and how you will attract them to your business. In this highly practical and interactive workshop, you'll learn how to analyse your current recruitment efforts, create a detailed workforce plan, get buy-in from the key influences in your business to help you deliver your plan, develop and strengthen your employer brand, and choose the right selection methods for your business. You'll be able to manage and get the best from recruitment consultants, utilise government initiatives to support your resourcing needs. But there's a warning that comes with this workshop. This is not a good excuse for a day out of the office, so you really will be expected to bring along any existing data that you already have and start building your resourcing strategy to take back to your business. You'll also get a follow-up call from one of the trainers to track on your progress. You can find out about this by going it's a bit.ly. Sorry, I'll put the link on the Kent Business Radio website later because it's a bit.ly link and I can't read it at the moment. But you can contact Jackie by emailing her at j.brooker@dakotablueconsulting.com. That's j.brooker@dakotablueconsulting.com. I'll find the link for the actual workshop and I'll put all the details of the workshop and the link on the Kent Business Radio website for your amusement later. So thank you for that, Jackie.
Cool. I'm just looking at some of Kate Griffiths's work.
Have you seen them?
Oh, there's an amazing one. Look, Paul, I'm holding it up. Look, listener.
I know, yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
That's me.
Yeah, it looks... Well, the black side looks like you.
Yeah. They're good, aren't they?
They are very good. I don't know how she does it.
You'll be finding out. You're going to find out in a minute.
You will.
And I'll tell you what, it's really amazing watching Kate work, how quickly she does it and how realistic. Even though you've sat there and watched her do it, the minute she steps away from having done it, you go, ugh. You just do. It's no matter the fact that you just watched her do it, it still looks horrible.
I need to phone the ambulance.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, read a tweet, Jules.
You keep saying that, and I'm just... you're really interrupting me when I'm doing other things, because I'm just sending out pictures.
Knitting and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, having my beetroot salad and things. I think I'll just read this. Kent-based architects achieves national recognition. This is award-winning Clegg, and it's been recognised as one of the biggest and best firms in the country by gaining a place in the prestigious AJ120 list of top UK practices compiled by the Architects Journal. So if you want to find out more about Clegg, go to www.clague.co.uk. Well done, guys, on winning this national recognition.
Absolutely. Well done, Clegg.
I'll come to some tweets in a minute.
Okay. Because I said to you, we won't read emails now, we'll do tweets.
So I know, but then
you read an email.
But then you were rambling on, so I thought, while you do that, I'll send out some pictures for the listeners of you in your tutu, because I know they would really appreciate that.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's got to be done, Paul.
I'd just like to say that my Just Giving page, or my Virgin Giving page, is still open for donations. those of you that haven't donated so far, if you don't donate soon, we are going to send more and more pictures of me in a tutu directly to you.
Quick,
and
pay
you,
up, pay
and
up.
You would not like that. I can assure you, you would not like that, so pay up. But just to let, I haven't done a final tally, but we are approaching the £2,000 mark for the split equally between the Herb's Palsy Group and the Kent Deaf Children's Society, of which I am proud and pleased to be the president. We've had a tweet from Lee Willis of Ancorians Football Club, who says he's listening to the Business Monkey Show. And I just want to say a huge, huge shout to Sammy the Starfish, who also turned up at the Zumbathon.
Could they tell the difference between you and Sammy the Starfish?
No. Now, see, it wasn't just me. One of the kids, Mace, reckoned it was Banana Man.
Yeah, I can see that.
But Sammy was brilliant. Sammy was absolutely brilliant. He actually rocked it in the Zumbathon.
He was on stage, wasn't he? When I saw the pictures, he was up on stage.
Well, he was in, on the dance.
Were you on the stage?
No.
They didn't allow you.
We were leading the dancing. We were rocking it down on the floor, mate.
I saw.
Yeah.
Perhaps we'll see some moves later.
There's a load of videos on there. Have you not seen any of the videos on Facebook?
I don't have as much time as you seem to think I have. I'll have a look tonight.
Mm-hmm. Good. Chris Pollard has tweeted to say he's looking forward to listening later as he can't listen live as he's stuck up a mountain in Turkey.
Eating donkey's cheese, because he tweeted the scoff and quaff. He was tucking into a lovely luncheon of donkey's cheese and a few little almonds that he picked.
Yeah. Well, that always goes down well, doesn't it? Yes. Almonds and donkey cheese. It's a well-known recipe.
Exactly. My guest on the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, was a bit shocked at the donkey cheese mention.
Who was that, Neil?
Neil.
Was he shocked?
Yeah, he was a little bit shocked.
Was he shocked?
And we had three phone-ins on my show in an hour. It was ridiculous.
It's my phone bill as well.
What do you think the planets are doing? Because we are a bit chaotic today.
The planets?
Do you think, you know, Mars is entering Mercury?
Oh, Mars is
Or maybe entering...
No, Mars is retrograding Pyrex, definitely.
Could be entering Uranus. You never know.
All of that was set up to do that joke. You do realise that, don't you? Yeah. Again. To do that joke. Again.
And you fell for it.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Jules. We've had a tweet from Cars from Kent. And they say you can find the lowest fuel prices in your area on carsfromkent.com, the best place to buy and sell your car. So thank you for that. And also they tweeted me another tweet, and I was reading this on their website the other day, and it's frightening, and you need to know about this. They said, listeners, you need to know about the correct insurance when allowing other people to test drive your car in a sales situation. There's a blog about this on the carsfromkent.com website. Go read it. It's frightening. A chap was selling his car and somebody came along to buy it and insisted on a test drive. He let the guy drive the car. They crashed. The guy was killed. And the insurance company said he wasn't insured to do that. So the guy who owned the car was charged with it.
God.
And lost his license and everything else. Don't let someone test drive your car unless you are absolutely sure you are covered by the insurance.
Because you often hear where people say, oh, don't worry, I'm third party Presume, I mean, if somebody dies, that's pretty.
And the owner of the car was held responsible. He went to appeal. He lost the appeal. The judge said, you are liable. It's your car, and you are liable to make sure that whoever's driving it is fully insured to drive it.
Did he have to go to prison?
No. They were somewhat lenient on the grounds that the guy that actually killed himself driving the car was at fault for driving badly, but he was done for not having insurance, and he was banned.
Well, there's a tale.
Yeah, so absolutely. So think on about that.
Harry Covert's listening in. He's been very rude. He heckled all through the Superior Scoff and Quaff show. He's now saying that Kate's makeup, she'll need a bucket of makeup for me.
Oh.
Very unamusing.
Oh, when Harry. Harry, you know her so well.
When was his lunch?
5th of June.
Yes.
Yeah. Well. Should we post it on the internet?
Yes. And the address.
And the address. And everything. We'll get thousands of hippies turn up for lunch at Harry's. Nice one. Do you know what I think we're going to do now?
Some tunage.
No, we're not going to do tunage.
Really?
No, we're not.
Okay. What are we going to do, Paul Andrews? It is your show, after all.
Yeah.
Alison?
Oh, yeah.
Alison?
Do you want a few more guesses or should we just follow the script?
Should we have Alison? Script?
Yeah.
Since when did you ever plan a show?
Oh, didn't I show you the script?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Because I, on the Scoff and Quaff show, Alison, I do have a show schedule.
Yeah.
then you, as you mentioned, it was a superior show.
Yes, very superior.
Sniffy.
Sometimes.
It's not, it's not so much superior as sniffy.
He loves it so much that he has to barge in during most of the hour just to pretend to twiddle my knob.
And turn her down. Yeah. Listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Alison Palmer of the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway branch. And Alison's joined us this morning to talk about broadband and broadband and specifically how it affects micro, small and rural businesses in this great county of ours. While we're talking, just to let you know that there are going to be some resources that Alison's going to tell you about. Don't worry about that in a moment. We have put up a page with all the information that Alison's going to give you today on the Kent Business Radio website, and I will give you a link to that later so that you can find out more about it. But for the moment, welcome, Alison. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you, Paul. It's good to be here. Thanks.
It's lovely to see you again. Welcome back. Why don't you kick off by giving us a bit of background to the FSB's campaign, for want of a better word, on broadband and what it's all about.
Okay, so the campaign is kind of on two levels. Nationally, we've been talking to Number 10, past government and now new government,
right,
all about how small businesses need it to be more reliable. We're talking about that on a national level ever since we produced a big old report last July, full of facts and figures and case studies, which proves absolutely that 94% of small businesses, pretty much everyone, says it's critical to their business. It's the fourth utility. You can't manage without it. Jules is nodding like crazy. No absolute way. You need your gas, electricity, water, and you need your broadband now. There's no question about it. So we're lobbying on that nationally. Then last September in Kent, we surveyed our FSB members, and they all said, yeah, actually, this is really important to us, really important, our top thing, apart from business rates and parking, those kind of things, broadband really matters. So we've been looking at that from behind the scenes, and glad to say tomorrow we'll be at Kent 2020. See everybody there. Looking forward to it.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head, sorry to put you on the spot, what your stand number is?
Nope.
How would she know that already?
I was just trying to find out.
Do you know what your stand number is?
It's just one of those habits I've got. See a woman,
we'll
ask for a
walk
number.
Around.
What's your stand number tomorrow, Paul number. Andrews?
I've no idea.
There you go. All of the best ones don't know where your stand is. No, we'll be there. We'll be there. So we're running a short workshop about broadband generally. We've got a bit of an expert. We've got a secret weapon. Roger Williams, who's an FSB member based in Maidstone, he happens to be the digital ambassador for the European Union, and he goes around Europe advising whole countries on what their infrastructure should be and how it can work and how it absolutely boosts the economy, and it means you can work from home, in your garden, at your business. You don't need to get train anywhere. You can work from right where you are. So Roger Williams is looking at it and all the different routes into broadband and getting really reliable connectivity. It turns into, as soon as you say that, you go, oh yeah, there's FTTC, there's STTP, there's kind of this kind of satellite broadband, and gets really technical. So what the FSB is really doing is making sure we're talking to local and national government to make sure that all small businesses get the best connection they can do. And we've got some great case studies where it can really, really work. Shall I just ramble on, Paul? Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, no, you keep going. Because
you're not rambling. You're telling
us.
I'm very interested in... Was it David Williams?
Roger Williams.
Roger Williams, sorry.
Yeah,
this is David. Because my new husband's just written a book at Frontier Funds. He went to the top 10 frontier markets, so not the emerging markets, but the next ones to emerge.
Right.
So right up his street. Went to Sri Lanka, Myanmar, all sorts of places. And, you know, the big thing there is transport and Wi-Fi and infrastructure and communications.
We know the power of it's immense. We were talking, Paul Andrews was at our Ebbsfleet Garden City conference last September. Another one of those coming up in June. And something a lot of the delegates there were saying was, yeah, great, 15,000 new homes, fabulous, and loads more chances for employment, lots of reasons to get involved in all this building work. But what is the Wi-Fi and broadband going to be like? And how are we planning ahead so that in 15 or 20 years' time, all this generation who are currently now on Instagram and tweeting away like we all are, but even... The exponential growth of that is massive.
Absolutely.
We can't be going back to retrofit
The problem is, in the UK, is that we're always working from behind. We have a monopoly provider, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
we have a monopoly provider in this country. We are always coming from behind. I can I seriously can get better internet and better mobile connection from the middle of the jungle in Botswana than I can in southeast England.
Yeah, and that's what the FSB is working on. So we're telling the government that their target, sorry, it's not ambitious enough. So get technical, 24 megabits per second by 2017.
Right.
That's what the government was saying as of last week.
Do you know what I get at the moment in southeast England, in a small town in southeast England?
What do you get?
0.8.
Ooh la la. Lucky we're on Twitter. If that, Finland say they're going to get 100 megabits per second by 2015, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So we're really lobbying and pushing to increase those targets. Now, at the same time the FSB has done this, actually, I think it was March the 12th, there was loads of meetings going on, Ofcom announced their first digital infrastructure review in about 10 years. Well, look at how the whole landscape has changed in 10 years. Yeah. We're nowhere near where we were 10 years ago. So it's really important that that report comes out, and we're feeding into that nationally with heaps of case studies and examples to back that up, to show the positive and negative effects on small business and how it can really keep them going and grow their business when you've got really reliable broadband.
Absolutely. I mean, to be fair, I mean, we don't normally slate people on here, but I'm going to. I mean, Ofcom have been really tardy in doing this. Okay, they've got loads of other problems that they're being tardy about as well, which is radio and FM and DAB and all the other things they've got to cope with. But those things are important because that's what's going to free up the bandwidth for 4G and 5G mobile phones. And in my humble opinion, as a former telecom specialist, I have to say that I think the future of broadband is mobile, and they're not even looking at that in any real, you know, constructive way. But that's where it's going to need to go. But anyway,
I think the thing is, you know, I'm with the main provider that you mentioned, BT, and I have still struggled, and I wanted to change my router because, you know, I don't feel that theirs is strong enough. I've got 9-inch walls or thick walls or something. But the guy that came round to give me a second opinion said that the neighbours and that can leech your signal. And so it's being distorted or, you know.
And there's so many different case studies and stories, and everyone's story seems to be slightly different, so which makes it tricky. But I've got examples of that. There was a business who, I think BT said, yes, of course, we can lay a cable to your business where you export internationally, sure. It costs you £30,000 because we have to dig a ditch up a kilometre of driveway or something. They went, what? They looked around, took 6 months of researching, which, imagine that, of a small business. That's, oh God, what are you doing? It's ridiculous. After 6 months, they finally found a local Kent provider, and they got it done for about £6,000 or £7,000, the whole thing.
Are you able to mention the name?
I can't remember them. It was from last summer.
We'll find it,
I've
though.
Got more recent examples. So good examples where it really, really works. Vintage Vibe, FSB members based in Tunbridge Wells. They're going to be in First Voice magazine, I'm sure of it. They sell online, and they've completely boosted their business. It's a £1 million turnover. Now, it's a family-run business, maybe 5 or 6 employees. Look at the scope for development and the scope for... It's incredible. Paragon Microfibre, we were looking for case studies for exporting, the Export Week, and Paragon Microfibre popped up. So this is what could have traditionally been a high street kind of hardware shop. They sell mops and cleaning equipment and all that kind of thing, but they sell it to the European Union.
Absolutely.
Now, they've got their websites translated into every European language they can do. So that possibility, and that from that one business exporting abroad, it's just an incredible thing to be able to do.
The growth of service exports to the UK economy is phenomenal, and it's set to surpass the growth of physical products and manufactured goods. So the ability to export services, which is almost 100% relies on good communications technology, is critical to the economic future of the country.
I
saw a really interesting statistic the other day from a professor at Harvard, who'd done a complete study of the main countries in the world and their tax take. Okay, so bear with me in this. No matter what country you looked at, no matter what tax rates they employed, no country in the world ever surpasses 38% of GDP in income from taxes, no matter what tax rate they set. Now, there are different countries with slightly different patterns, and there are one or two countries that earn a bit more, but it's always consistent. So what he's saying is the only way that you can get more funds into the public purse is not raising the tax rate, not matching taxes and all these other silly things that they come out with. You have to grow the economy. It is the only way you can do it, because 38% of a bigger economy is more money. And it's as simple as that. And that is why what you're talking about here, Alison, and is even, absolutely crucial.
But we've given a couple of examples there that are quite big and talking about international exporting. There's lots of SMEs that wouldn't be at that level and it wouldn't be suitable to them. But lots of small businesses just need it to pay their staff on time, to save all their data, to be able to email without it falling over and crashing and losing all the information.
But I think you've got it in a nutshell right at the beginning, Alison, when you said that, you know, for an SME, a small business, they haven't got time to fiddle about trying to get their Wi-Fi working. You need an answer, you know, so presumably you're coming up with all the ideas and they can just, you can almost be a one-stop shop.
Well, let's start small, shall we? First of all, I'll let my team at head office in London do all the lobbying because they're brilliant at that. What we're going to recommend is that first of all you check your speed and then you actually diagnose your computer. There's a couple of those sorts of things. And then, so stage by stage, you know, we can give all the case studies of what businesses can do with better reliability, but actually just checking your speed. So websites that Ofcom sort of recommend them as well, things like broadband.co.uk or broadbandchoices.co.uk, cable.co.uk. You can go online, check all of these and see what exactly is you're getting.
What we've done, listener, is there's a blog on the Kent Business Radio website. It's called the FSB Broadband Resource. If you find that link, I've been tweeting it out so you can find it, or just go on the website, you'll find it under blogs. What we've done is we've listed all the websites that Alison's just about to tell you about with links to all of them and some data to substantiate what she's saying. So all the things she's just about to tell you about, you don't have to write it down now. Just go to the Kent Business Radio website and there's a resource there with all of these listed on there.
And that should be sort of a first step. So check your speed and then diagnose your computer and make sure you've got all the right bits switched on and plugged in and you're using it to the best possible ability that you've got. So there's actual experience, again, as Paul said, on the website. Use those, and then what we'll be doing is making sure that we can find other providers in Kent so that you're aware of all the choices that are available. Because the prices are so different, service varies, and we need to be able to share all that information between each other, so we're really helping other small businesses just to keep up and running and then grow and expand where they can.
Absolutely. And this is me saying this rather than Alison. What I suggest, if you are a micro, small business, sole trader, do join the FSB, please, because it's organisations like the FSB that will get these kind of issues resolved for us. It ain't going to happen any other way. Yeah,
David.
Okay, you're okay, my near enough to the microphone.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
No, really interested to hear this, because the work I'm doing with in transport, sustainable transport, I'm working with SMEs, and the main conversation I'm having when I'm with SMEs looking at their transport is not travelling.
Absolutely.
Quite simply by doing more online conferencing.
Absolutely.
Video conferencing.
Working from home.
Yeah. This is the big saving for businesses.
Absolutely.
Or even getting them out the cars, putting them onto the train, where they can use a dongle and use their laptops.
The price of trains, darling, it's getting too much, David.
Well,
sorry.
Businesses are clever. If you know that the trip's being made, if you book very, very early, you get the discount. Yeah. And also, it's not lost working time. You think about when you get in the car and drive, that is lost working time.
Absolutely. No, but you're absolutely right. It's the ability to work from anywhere. It's the ability to work from home. It's the ability to do stuff wherever you are.
Yeah, what do we call it? We call it smarter working.
Yeah,
exactly. Flexible working. Agile working is a lovely little term now.
And we're very agile. Paul and I, have you seen us on our tandem?
You're doing your back bends.
He pedals and I just tweet on the back, you see.
But that's exactly the kind of thing as well that I think where the FSB, where we can lobby government nationally, we can say improve your targets, focus on this, invest on it. We need to invest on it for the future. We need, for video conferencing, as you mentioned, we need between 2 and 24 megabits per second. Well, actually, videos kind of need about 25 megabits per second. So what we're saying is super fast. You can just video conference on that if you're lucky. Yeah. So what I think the FSB's role is, in Kent, we really want to share the information that we've got, encourage people to check your speeds, check your computers, and then increase the demand. Yeah. We know Kent County Council are working blooming hard on getting it rolled out as fast as they can. That super fast is going to be there for all businesses and all homes. I think by 2017 they're going to meet their target. But equally, if the demand is there, that really gives us a bigger, stronger argument.
They are being a bit disingenuous, though, because they are only rolling out fibre to the cabinet, which is useless.
I think that's because when they looked at the cost nationally of doing fibre to the premises, which is where it's absolutely reliable, it's like turning on a tap, you get your glass of water. If you've got fibre to the premises, you turn on your computer, you've got broadband. Yeah. It's that good. Something like £25 billion for the UK.
But the problem is, as I just said, thinking selfishly here, where I am, okay, I have fibre to the cabinet, mm-hmm. and the cabinet is right outside my door.
Should be good. No?
I don't, and there is no time scale for me getting high-speed broadband.
So they're because
they won't
do
the last.
Do,
they won't oh, do yeah. the last 20 yards. They just won't, because it's too expensive for me. So I'm going to have 0.8 until hell freezes over.
Ooh.
Apparently. So you know, doing fibre to the cabinet is of no use to me whatsoever, and that's a problem. And that exists as a problem because this should have been done 20 years ago.
And that's where we need your case study. We need all the case studies across Kent. There's to pile into this Ofcom report. So we've got a report coming out in July about it all. But the more we can tell these stories, and the FSB can talk to Kent County Council and talk to national government about the issues, and the fact that it slows down. Because look at you guys, you're so successful and competent and out there, but actually you've got obstacles. Imagine if it was completely 100% reliable.
Yeah,
you'd be flying.
It's always when, I don't know about you, Paul, but it's always when I have a deadline, I have a press deadline, and then you'll be screaming at the, you know, trying to send JPEGs through. I send large files, and it always...
Hey, listen, try running an internet radio station on a broadband line.
Well, wind it up, love. Yeah.
It don't work.
And there's companies like Blue Badger Marketing, I think they're based in Sevenoaks, who have got fibre to the premises, and they've said, wow, look at that. My problems are solved. Their download and upload speed is so quick. Emails have gone the minute they're sent. They can deal with great big files and photographs and videos, and they can really, their business is on really solid ground now because that they've got that.
But that's what's frustrating, because you use, you know, who you think is reliable, and you know, I've got the top whack at my house, but it's not great. Even the iPlayer on the smart TV was...
Well, this is the problem, that we're inventing more and more technologies that use broadband and internet.
And demand grows up and up and up, but also our understanding doesn't almost keep up with our demand. That's what I've found through running the project. I don't... It's a really complicated technical setup, and yet I pick up my phone, I want it to work all the time.
Yeah,
now, absolutely. I don't know whether I'm connected properly or not. So what we need to do, check our speed, diagnose what our computers are like, and then see whether there's any little short-term fixes we can do. In the meantime, we're going to be sharing more information about other providers in Kent and lobbying government non-stop to help them make sure they invest in it.
Very exciting. Can I just ask one question? If somebody is going to join the FSB, what does it cost and what do they get in a nutshell?
From a sole trader, it's £155 for the year.
Excellent.
As soon as you've paid that, you're a member straight away. You get 24-hour legal advice. You get free business banking for life. You get there's vehicle car leasing. There's fuel discounts for
discounted
petrol and
insurance.
Diesel. What else? If you go on jury service, you get cover for that, so you're not going to lose your, you know, you get
basically you make your money back.
That's brilliant. Absolutely.
So
brilliant.
It's from £155, and just fsb.org.uk/join.
Join. Otherwise, we'll send Jules around to sort you out. That's the easiest way of doing that.
Just followed by Kate, the makeup artist.
With David on the bike.
Anyway, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we have to move on. Alison, thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Paul.
As I said, if anybody wants to follow up with anything that Alison has said, which you do, all the resources that she mentioned are available on the Kent Business Radio website as a link. And there's also a link on there to the FSB site where you can contribute your case studies as well.
Brilliant.
So do look at that. Do check it out. But for the moment, Alison, thank you so much.
Cheers.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you. Now, Jules.
Twitter.
No.
Tunage. Oh, well, I've got no idea. I wonder if it's something about a bicycle.
What do you reckon?
Could it be Freddie Mercury?
It's cheesy tunage time.
Say white, say bar, I say bite, say shark, I say him and George was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars. Say Rose, I say Roy, say God, give me a choice. Say Lord, I say Christ, I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein or Superman. All I wanna do is I want to ride my bicycle. Races are coming your way, so forget all your duties. Oh yeah, grandfather girl. say Kane.
I say John.
I say Wayne.
Hot dog.
I say Cooler Man. I don't want to be the president of America.
I say Smile.
I say Cheese.
Naughty, eh?
I say Please.
Income tax.
I say Jesus. I don't want to be a candidate for being number one again. Cause all I want to do is
eyes.
Yeah.
Eyes.
Eyes. I want to ride.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, May the 12th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. We would love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. So do get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us is to tweet us. Oh, Jules is on a certain bottle of vodka.
Well, it's nearly my birthday.
It is nearly your birthday. He's only a year away.
May 26th.
Yeah. Just in case you were wondering there, folks. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb. I want to talk to our next guest now, and hence the cheesy bicycle song. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show. It must have been about this time last year, I think, David, that you were last on. When you bicycled over here to see us,
it was because it's an annual event. I seem to be promoting on the Bunker Show.
So. Absolutely, yeah. So it's a pleasure to welcome David Roberts of Sustrans, which are you can tell us what Sustrans are rather than me.
Yeah,
tell us all about Sustrans.
So Sustrans stands for Sustainable Transport. So we're the UK's largest sustainable transport charity, and nationally I suppose we're best known for putting in the National Cycle Network. Right. Whenever you see a blue sign with NCN anywhere in the UK, we're linked to that. We're working in partnership with county and local authorities to get them in. But we also do a lot of wider projects to get people out using them.
Right.
And they're interesting, actually, because the National Cycle Network is a misleading name, because 50% of its usage is non-cycling. It's people walking, scooting, skating, pushchair, roller skating, yeah, and sometimes even it could be shared bridleways, there could be horses. So
right.
I quite like the French sort of term, Avenue Vert, like the Greenway.
Right, okay.
So there's a lot of projects to also get people using them,
right.
Community projects, school project, but we're on a particular project in the whole of the southeast of England, there's a team of us, and I'm here in East Kent. And very much linked to what Alison was saying, it's working with small and medium enterprises to get them to rethink their travel.
Mm.
You know, do they need to travel in the first place?
Sure.
Could they be improved, you know, with good broadband?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Doing more video conferencing.
Yeah.
Doing more Skyping, and, you know, just saving an awful lot of money and an awful lot of time.
Yeah.
Or when they are travelling, you know, does it always have to be in a car, which is lost time? Could you book trains early? I do appreciate, you know, what Jules was saying about the price, but there are ways, you know, you can get sort of network cars, and if you book early you can get a good discount. It's about good planning, but it's not lost working time. You can sit on a train and work.
Sure. And I'm not a big train user, but there are certain places I go where I always go by train, because it's just, you know, like, I would never drive to London these days. It's totally pointless.
Mm.
It's far too expensive. There's nowhere to park. It is far easier, if you're going to go to a big urban centre like London, to go by train.
Yeah, and look, you see so many people now with folding bikes.
Yeah.
Taking them on the train.
That's what my new husband's just bought, a folding one.
There's a
lot of the name.
Well, loads of good ones on the market. So there's even electric folding bikes.
Yeah.
You know, it makes complete sense.
So what the advice you were giving me, because we'd had one stolen at Whitstable Station, was to get a really, really good lock, David.
Yeah.
Can you recommend any?
There are a lot out there on this, but I suppose Kryptonite's quite a good one, isn't it? What they are is they've got bands like bronze, silver and gold.
Yeah.
And often if you actually even want to insure your bike, if you've got, you know, quite an expensive bike, and you want they will say, to insure this bike you have to have silver premium, you have to have gold premium. And a lot of them, what they do is it's like a D-lock, which will lock the frame to something. That's it. Basically, you've got to lock it to something secure. You can't just lock wheel to frame, because they just pick it up and chuck it in the back of the van.
Yeah.
So you lock the frame to something. And then you also put a piece of cable through the two wheels, because many bikes have quick release wheels.
Yeah,
so they're going to pinch your wheels.
I saw one the other day. Somebody put a picture on Twitter and said, come on, think about this. There was a wheel chained to some railings and the rest of the bike had gone because he just detached the wheel from it and left the wheel chained to the railings.
Well, the sad thing is, if you go to Whitstable train station, you can see all the old locks just there where people have just had their bikes nicked. Yeah.
Anyway, what some people do is they just leave a lock at the station if it's a regular journey, and then they move away from Whitstable and forget to get the lock. So it's not all theft. But it's also, some of the work I do is also advising workplaces on how to make their environment active travel and stable travel friendly, i.e. how do you encourage cycling?
Absolutely.
So if a workplace has really good secure bike parking and a shower and lockers and a drying room, you're going to get people walking to work, speed walking to work, running to work. So, you know, business parks, retail centres, that I think they have a responsibility to have really good cycle streets. Schools do, colleges
absolutely.
Do.
Funny, while you were saying that...
Freewheel Pub does, which we're going to hear that later. It's got some executive cycle storage.
But it's interesting, you saying that reminded me of a company I came across some time ago based in Westerham or West Kent somewhere called Cycle Pod.
Great company. They're using recycled plastics.
Right.
I've worked with, actually, because my previous project with Sustrans was working with schools.
Right.
And they used to put in scooter parking.
Right.
And cycle parking.
Yeah.
And really lovely bright colours for schools. But they also do, you know, more sort of executive stuff for businesses. And isn't it great to support a local company? They're really nice people.
As far as I remember, CyclePod make these compact bike parking things.
There's a big range. Some of it is bright coloured plastic. But they also do some businesses like the more sort of perspex silver. But they do a good range, and that's actually great. They donate storage to Sustrans, the big pedal. We do a challenge with schools, and they every year they donate a prize, which is really really kind of them.
Cool. Right. So, what are you working on at the moment, David? What's the big push right now?
The big push is, it's called the Kent Smarter Travel Challenge.
Right.
And so in the month of June, we're asking people to sign up. So, all businesses, any size, any type of business in Kent, actually to sign up now. The website is live. And the idea is to get your staff to be a team, compete against other businesses, and to log basically any journey that is not single occupancy in a petrol or diesel car.
Okay.
And it's the commute to work and also any workplace journey. So basically walking, cycling, car sharing, use of electric vehicle, use of public transport. And you can also log if you work at home or if you do a virtual online meeting.
Right, okay.
So it's trying to encourage people to be active in the commute to work and also for work, but also trying to be sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, if we start to reduce the amount of cars on the road, we're going to start to free up the traffic. Businesses just lose a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Quite simply, just being stuck in traffic.
Absolutely.
So it's a bit of fun. You know, it's good fun. There's some really nice prizes to be had. There's always prizes.
It's a night with Paul Andrews in a tutu.
Yeah, peddlers win prizes.
I might even get on the website so we can even see the prize. I remember some of them, but they keep putting on new ones. So I think it's a really nice time. It's a really nice opportunity to get a bit of team spirit going in the workplace. And you can also, it's a great website. You can also find your nemesis. So let's say you're an insurance company. Get your big competitor to sign up as well and do a little head-to-head with them. You know, try and beat them. We've got some good companies signed up at the moment. We've got big ones. We've got Kent County Council, Swale Borough Council, Thanet District Council, Christchurch University, and businesses of all size. You know, there's some with even three people.
Right.
So it's divided into categories, so you compete against businesses of a similar size. And the most interesting thing, it's about staff participating. It's not really the number of journeys or the length of journeys. It's, if you're a workplace with 10 people, it's how many can you get to do this?
Sure.
So if you can get 10, everyone just doing maybe one thing, just maybe car sharing or maybe just one day walking in, you'll get 100%
and win.
Right. Whilst talking about that, somebody asked me the other day about, you might know, because I know you're kind of based in that area of the county as well, somebody asked me about the car sharing scheme in Canterbury. Do you know much about that?
Yeah, there's a few. KCC, they run one. You can do one through KCC. There are website-based ones as well. I think that there's listshare.com. A really interesting one that I quite like is Faxi. It stands for Your Friend as a Taxi. So it's F-A-X-I, Faxi.
Right.
And what I like about it is it works on all the sort of mapping technology that you'd have anyway on your smartphone.
Right.
So what you can do is you could form your own little group. So let's say you work at Kent University.
Okay.
Form a Kent University group, try and get all the staff to sign up to it, and then you can do a postcode check and find out who in your workplace lives near you and might be making the same sort of journey.
A bit like Tinder, really.
What I was going to say was,
swipe
then,
back for a lift.
Going back to what Paul was saying about the young man that sadly died, what would happen with the insurance on that if you're giving people lifts?
It's not linked. If it's the journey to work, that's not a work issue. That's just like you giving a friend a lift in the car.
Yeah.
When it becomes,
so there's no money changing hands.
No, there's absolutely no money. Okay. If you're doing it for work purposes, that's when you have to have your vehicle insured for business purposes. As a lot of people do use their own vehicle, they have to get it insured for business purposes. But it really is just like you're giving a mate a lift.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, in the interest of car share, just for good practice, I'm in Whitstable.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go to 2020 tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, you can come with me.
Can I? There you go. Yeah. So that's a car show.
I'm not going to about 4 PM. By the time I've got up.
I've got to be there really early.
Well, we'll talk about it after.
It'd be great. Because, you know, that's something I always try and do. I always try and, you know, organise this show whenever I got...
There you are. We both live in Whitstable, David.
We do.
Watch it, David. All I'll say is just watch it.
So I'm going to tell you something about the prizes.
Yeah.
Amazon vouchers, Cotswold outdoor vouchers, Waitrose vouchers.
Okay.
Joint Adult English Heritage membership. You can see there's an outdoor thing going on here.
Which isn't surprising, yeah.
Kent and East Sussex Railway return journey and cream tea for two.
Ooh.
Look, food always gets there going, doesn't it?
Cream tea.
As soon as you mention food, she's there. Yeah.
Hever Castle tickets, family ticket at Historic Dockyard. You can see all the prizes are local. We're really, you know, promoting the beauty of Kent. Halfords vouchers, cycling stuff from Bike Tart, Shop in Canterbury.
Yep.
They got one around here.
Oh, yeah, the Bike Tart is Palace Street, isn't it, in Canterbury? Yeah. Or North Gate, I never know.
They've also got one somewhere out, it's quite here. They've got one out sort of...
Dymchurch.
Yeah, around this way as well, haven't they?
Yeah,
cycle training as well.
Right.
You can get cycling. So there's some great prizes to be won.
Cool.
Shall I do the website bit now?
Yes,
do.
Go for it now.
You do it so well.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can register right now. Registration's open. You go on and you register your company. And so it's kenttravel.getmeactive.org.uk.
Fantastic.
So it's kenttravel.getmeactive.org.uk. It's called the Kent Smarter Travel Challenge.
Right.
The idea is you register your business as a team, so you've got a business presence. It's becoming a bit of a networking website in itself. You know, you've got a presence there, and then encourage your colleagues, obviously, to join. Because to win, you've got to have participation. You've got to have maximum participation. But bear in mind, if somebody just does one walking journey or one car share journey or one day working at home in that whole month, they've participated. So theoretically, it should be really easy to get, you know, a high percentage.
Absolutely.
And win a prize.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, get Kent moving.
What we'll do, David, is after the show, if you give me that website link again, I'll put the link up on both the Kent Business Radio website and I'll also put it out on our Twitter. Thank you. I'll put it out on our Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook pages and we'll get that some promotion. That's fabulous. So where do we go from here? I mean, personally, I think the government ought to buy me a Porsche 918 electric car because they're a bit nice.
Yeah, we do like one. There's a BMW one as well as that's coming out.
The i8, no, the i8 is... Well, BMW have two. They have a smaller one.
I only want one.
No, but I'm saying they have two models. They have, I think it's an i1, that they have, which is a small electric car, and then they have the hybrid, which is an i8, which is awesome. There's a guy in Canterbury that's got an i8. I followed him the other day. Awesome. Looks a bit like, for those of you old enough to remember, the Hoff in Night Rider. Yeah.
But there's grants. Grants from OLEV, the Office of Low Emission Vehicles. Yeah. You can get £5,000 grants to buy a car, £8,000 to buy a van, which I think is particularly interesting.
That's
for business.
Very good for business. I shall tell Riverford.
And also, bear in mind, if you're a business that is making a lot of journeys into London, you don't pay the congestion charge if you've got a low emission vehicle.
Yeah, sure.
So, and there's more and more charging points. There's grants to get charging points put into your business site and even your home site.
Sure.
Hotels had grants because I remember last time you were on, I connected with
Thank you. You're
welcome.
If you are in the leisure business, so if you're a sports centre or a hotel, you can actually get given an electric charge point completely free of charge. You pay the installation, which it depends on the ground. It won't be more than 400, but you get the charge point free. So Ashton International Hotel, for example, has got one.
Yep.
You know, that's going to attract clientele.
Yeah.
So what about for Adrian with his pub? Would he be able to get a grant for putting in a point? His pub in Graveney, perhaps?
I suppose if you can say you're leisure at the moment, I think it's sports centres and hotels.
But then if you're cycling...
Oh, hang on, it's an abode as well.
It won't
get full grant, but I think...
We've wangled it for you.
I think a contribution, but I suppose,
Adrian, we'll pop round, we'll put a hammock in the tree in the garden outside and we'll claim it as...
A little tree house.
I have been to a Free Will pub, by the way. I frequent it.
When should we go? Invite me, I'll come on my bicyclette and, you know...
It's great.
We're going to talk to Adrian after the break, actually, about what he's doing, because he's as mad as you are, as bicycles. We're going to talk about that. But coming back to the point you were making, David, it's absolutely true. It's like any piece of technology, isn't it? The early iterations of a piece of technology is expensive, hard to come by, difficult. They often call it the bleeding edge of technology. But increasingly now, more and more and more, you see electric charging points in loads of places. Obviously, rural areas will be the last places that get it, but then rural areas are the last place that get anything. but by pure nature of the fact that they're rural. But you see more and more car charging points. I think every major car manufacturer makes at least a hybrid car.
Yeah, I think hybrid seems to be the real market at the moment. I think that's what a lot of businesses, van owners, that's what they're really looking for, development of large hybrid vans, I think, and that's really where
it's understandable towards. Because battery technology at the moment isn't sustainable in terms of long-distance travelling. You've got to go hybrid if you're going to go anywhere other than a small commute or a shopping trip. Currently, because that's the state of battery technology as it exists, so the hybrid way forward. But some of the hybrid technology is unbelievable. And when you look at high-end hybrids, you can see what will eventually be the future. You know, without being funny, I was talking about a Porsche 918 earlier, which is a hybrid electric car, which costs a measly 650,000 quid to buy. but it does. It has a top speed of 210 miles an hour, and it's an electric car, for crying out loud. And although it's a hybrid...
Show about speed limits, hey?
Exactly. But you know, the technology that they've employed in the car is incredibly expensive. It's all titanium. It's all, you know, you can pick the entire damn thing up in one hand and stuff like that. And it's an awesome car, reflected in the price. But what will happen is other car manufacturers and Volkswagen, the owners of Porsche, will adopt that technology and make it mainstream as time unfolds, and that's how it will come about, and it will arrive quickly, because once people have adopted something, and I think for a long time electric vehicles were seen as a bit of a gimmick, and because that started to change, and there's some really powerful, you know, Porsche and BMW and people like that have produced some really powerful, good looking cars, and Tesla and what have you, that are electric cars, people take it seriously. And that's changed the market radically.
Yeah, and I think it's the van market as well, large van. I think that's really, really becoming attractive businesses because there is an initial outlay. Mm. But with a transport plan, you know, you look at it 3 years. You look at what are you going to save on fuel, and you know, you're going to recoup those costs. And also leasing. You know, a lot of companies lease their vehicles anyway, and obviously these hybrids are now available through lease companies. So
absolutely.
I think, you know, sometimes it is sitting down. And I think the Energy Saving Trust are great. They offer free fleet analysis. They've got initiatives called the Plugged In Fleet, and they will sit down, look at your current needs, look at how you're going to develop, and they do that. They sit down and look at a long-term costing plan and see, you know, that you are going to recoup your investment and how quickly and the savings to be made. I think some of my small businesses just don't have the time or the knowledge to invest that. And actually, that's one of the services I offer to businesses, is that liaison. I work with the Energy Saving Trust because I know small businesses.
Yeah.
You're busy, and there's these things that you've got. Yeah, we will look
at
transport.
You've got a list. Yeah.
You've got a list, and you never get to it.
Yeah.
And I'm on a funded project, and the Energy Saving Trust, we're government funded, to do this sort of research for you, and then just hand it to you on a plate.
Right.
So, you know, please use us. We're a free resource.
Fantastic. So what I need you to tell us now is how all those businesses out there in Business Bunker Land can get hold of you, how they can find out more about all the range of things that you've talked about today, David. We will put the link to the competition website on the Business Bunker website. But if they just want to talk to you about, you know, as you just said, a review, or how they can, you know, how they can be more sustainable in the transport they use at work. But if they want to talk about electric vehicles, grants available, order, how can they get hold of you?
I'll give my email. So it's david.robert, no S on the end of my name. So david.robert@sustrans.org.uk. And Sustrans is Sustrans. I'm also on LinkedIn.
Right.
So I think you can find me. You can find me putting David Robert, and the project is Kent Smarter Travel.
Right,
so
okay.
Also find me there.
So fantastic. So if you want to get hold of David, if you want to talk to Sustrans and David about the potential in your business, your small business, or if you're a sole trader, you know, or a tradesperson or something, and you want to talk about what's available, or just find out more, you know, just find out more. Even if you're not in a position to do something right now, it's worth knowing what you can do in the future.
Yeah, you might have a question, you might just need a bit of information. I can send you the link. And
fantastic. Yeah. David, as always, thank you so much for joining us. I have to tell you, listener, as Jules got all excited about, he is dressed in bicycling lycra.
Yeah, I have ridden here today.
He walks the talk. This man...
So he's ridden from Whitstable. Yeah.
No, be fair. What I did is I rode Whitstable to Canterbury, trained Canterbury to Ashford, and then trained and then cycled here from Ashford
Still
Station.
Pretty good.
Ashford to here is, what, 12 miles?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And he looks fresh as a daisy.
He certainly does, doesn't he?
It's
he had a little energy bar when he came in.
Yeah.
A few nuts and seeds.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So he certainly walks the talk. David, as always, absolute pleasure to talk to you on the Business Bunker Show.
Yeah, no, great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. All power to you. We'll put links to your competition to Smarter Kent on the Business Bunker website. Thank you so much. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We've got a minute or so before the break, and then we're going to talk to Adrian and carry on the cycling theme for a little while before we then get all scarred up talking to Kate Griffiths later on. I just need to say, I did see some of the tweets that Kate was putting out about me, starting a rumour about my predilections for leather miniskirts or something. I did see.
Nurse Liz in Maryland is listening in. She listened to the Superior Show, having her coffee and breakfast. Now she's listening to the Bunker, and she says, "Does UK have Uber app?" UBER.
Uber. Yeah, we
do. What does Uber do?
It's a taxi app.
Okay, so she was listening to you. She's also requested a picture of you in lycra, which I shall be sending you in a tick, Nurse Liz.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the main thing of the conversation.
Can we get a picture of Liz in the nurses?
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, we can start a mutual appreciation society here. Don't you worry. It's interesting, actually. Uber is one of my favourite talking points at the moment. When I'm explaining how, and this really kind of fits in with what David's been talking about, really, is that new technology is enabling us to be more local. It's enabling us to do things on a smaller scale, even giant things on a smaller scale. And just one of my throwaway lines is the world's biggest taxi company is Uber, and they own precisely zero vehicles.
Yeah, that's cool.
The world's biggest hotel and accommodation company owns exactly zero premises.
Which one's that?
Airbnb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They own no premises at all, and the world's biggest media company has not a jot of their own content, which is Facebook. And it just shows you how times have changed and how times will continue to change. But I tell you what, we're going to have a small break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Adrian Oliver about his cycling exploits and the kind of and his cycling pub, and we're fascinated. We're really keen to learn more about this. But we'll be back with you shortly.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Right now, there are small business owners like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're RIFT. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from RIFT if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Need inspiration? Join in the conversation with #DailyBread from Mike Waterton.
Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.